Now, can you tell us what's actually happened here? Was this a technical accident? Why have we had drug crimes counted twice in official data?
Well, it's been going on since 2010. And as my office understands it, there have been about 80,000 recorded interactions between police and the community on our official data. That's where police allege an event occurred where there was either drug possession or drug use. About 80,000 of those events since 2010 never happened. They were double counted. Data that had been provided by the police was run through some analysis by the Bureau of Crime Statistics and Research, and there was an assumption there that the police had treated the data in a particular way, and they hadn't, and therefore they double counted all of these possession and use drug events. And over the last 10 years, that means that classification of drug crime has been exaggerated by about 25%. And as you say, in just the last year alone, just in 2017, that meant there were more than 13,000 alleged police events involving drug use and possession on the official data that never happened.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, and going back, as I said, going back to 2010, that's about 80,000 interactions with police that never happened. Now, what I find amazing about that is, I mean, it's such an substantial overstatement and exaggeration of police work that the police never picked it up. Or if the police did pick it up, they never told the Bureau of Crime Statistics about it, and were just happy to let it slide because it was so exaggerating police effectiveness.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's just numbers like that which are breathtaking, and it kind of leads into my next question. What did you make of the New South Wales Police not really, I guess, taking action on Boxar's over-reporting of crucial data?
Well, it kind of sums up, I think, police activity in the area. It's not really evidence-based. I mean, it's more an ideological bent that the police have based upon their view about where scarce police resources should be directed. I mean, there's a whole panoply of illegal conduct out there. You know, we have white-collar crime where people are stealing from the government and corporations and insurance companies, and, you know, and we see the way the banks are operating. So the police could be focusing on that. They don't. We have, you know, political corruption and, you know, misbehavior by politicians. Well, police could be focusing on that, but they don't. We have, you know, awful rates of domestic violence. One woman being killed every week as a result of domestic violence, and a desperate need to put additional police resources in domestic violence. But instead, we've found police continuing to resource and over-resource the failing war on drugs. And what we do know from some reputable data from the Australian Crime Commission is that around about 55% of all criminal proceedings in relation to drugs are to do with cannabis and cannabis possession. So this entire war on drugs is catching people largely with a few joints and small-time cannabis busts. Over half of all the convictions federally are about cannabis possession. And, you know, I talk to people in the community and you say, would you want police monstering people for having a bit of weed, or would you like them fighting fraud, corruption and domestic violence? And maybe I mix in a strange subset of society, but pretty much everyone I talk to says, well, we'd rather police focusing on domestic violence, actual violence, fraud and corruption.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I guess really weed isn't as directly as harmful as you've mentioned, like political, I guess, wrongs and domestic violence as well. So I guess they've had politicians and police been using this data to gain weight to their tough stance on drugs?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that the data has been rolled out by the coalition here, the Liberal and the National Party, and by the Labor Party in opposition, to say that there's this, you know, surge of drug crime and there's this, you know, vast amount of drug use and drug possession, and the official data supports it, they keep saying. Well, we just had the official data revised down over a decade by 25%. And if they were honest about relying upon the data, they would say, well, actually, do you know what? We might have missed the mark a bit here. There's been 25% less of this class of drug offences than we thought. Maybe we should be pulling back some resources from, you know, the failing war on drugs. But no, we haven't seen that. We've seen them say, oh, it doesn't really matter. We were just openly pointing out how political their use of data has been over the last decade. You know, they use the data that supports their argument. They don't look to the data to work out what their argument should be. And, you know, I think that's many people get kind of sick of politics when they realise and they see it so openly exposed. And in fact, remarkably, today, you know, the day after we see this, you know, prominent story being run about the massive, you know, very substantial overstatement of the amount of drug crime in the state. Just today, we saw the police association come out and say they want more police on the streets to deal with drug crime. That's actually what they said today.
Doesn't really, I guess...
it's a dissonance there that I find hard to understand.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess alongside that, in light of police barring patrons from entering events, even when they might not actually have drugs on them, will this revised data give them pause to rethink the seriousness of drug use in New South Wales?
This revised data should give the police pause to work out where they're devoting their scarce resources to. You know, do they want to continue to over-resource, you know, a war they can't win, the war on drugs? Or do they want to start looking at things they can actually have some effect on? And, you know, we've seen particularly, say, the Drug Dog program, which I think you were indicating in that question, the Drug Dog program getting funded to the tune of just providing the dogs and the team about $9 million a year of police resources go on that. But then every time a drug dog goes out on patrol, if such a thing is true, every time a drug dog's out there at a music festival or out there at a train station, there's also a dozen general duties police that are pulled from the local area command and from other policing duties in the local area command and are wrapped around a drug dog.
Wow.
Hanging around to see if the drug dog has an opinion about whether or not anybody in the crowd has drugs on them. And then based upon the opinion of the dog, people are then being searched and, you know, very often strip searched based upon the opinion of a dog.
Just highlighting the opinion of a dog.
Yeah,
there.
Which, and there's a cloud of police following behind these dogs. Like, you know, literally a cloud of, I don't know what the group noun for police is, but there's a crowd of police following behind a dog to see whether or not the dog thinks someone has come into contact with drugs. And then all those police resources are used to search people and often strip search people. And we know that the opinion of the dog is wrong between two-thirds and three-quarters of the time. And, you know, surely this data would make the police, you know, take a step back, you know, maybe smell the roses and think, well, perhaps that isn't the best use of police resources because actually drug crime has been 25% less than we thought it was.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very interesting a number that has come out of that. 25% is massive. And a very big revelation, really, that's kind of come out of New South Wales and drug crime in it as well. But we have run out of time to, I guess, talk further about it. But it's very interesting. And thank you so much, David, for joining us this morning to talk more about it.
Pleasure, James. Always good to speak.